Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub, and all of our advertising revenues will be donated to support this fantastic initiative. It's now based at the Lions Centre on Bolina Road, and it's run by our own Kelly Webster. This is a friendly food bank supporting families in the Bermondsey and SE16 area. If you can help support the Lions Food Hub in any way, please visit at Lions Food Hub on Twitter or get in touch with us at Achtung Millwall. The Lions Food Hub. Come on, you Lions.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to an unusual show. It's an Achtung Extra. It's actually an addendum to our show yesterday, 415. Recorded in the aftermath of that shocker of a game at home to Luton Town on Saturday. Such has been the level of comment, the level of interest online, first-time callers to the voicemail. That defeat, which, you know, we're no strangers to losing a game, are we? That we had more content than I could probably realistically cram into one show. So I've done this Achtung Extra. So we're going to switch over now to a first-time guest on the show, Matt, who contacted me via Twitter. Big thank you to Matt for doing this. Let's have a quick listen to the interview that I did immediately after the chaps yesterday.
Achtung, Millwall.
Huge welcome, dear listeners, to Achtung Extra. Such is the level of interest on the podcast this week following that. I don't even want to call it a performance yesterday, listeners, but such is the level of interest. We've had a lot of first-time callers, including now a big welcome to Matt. Welcome to the show, Matt. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Morning, Nick. Yeah, it's an interesting one yesterday. I don't actually think in the first half it was that bad. I don't know what you made of it, but
okay,
I thought that before their goal, I felt that we were at least trying to play the right way.
I'd agree with that.
Couple of half chances, but it was just so flat, wasn't it? There was no real drive after that first goal. And I mean, it was shit defending, don't get me wrong, but it's pretty fortunate how it comes about.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm just looking at Twitter as you and I are speaking there, Matt, and there's an absolute torrent of comment. It's very hard to find anyone, what you might call a friendly voice for Gary Rowe at the moment, but we'll come back to that, because obviously that's going to be the $64,000 question up from yesterday and the week ahead. But I'm just looking at a tweet here, and I think it's a really interesting point. A guy called VJ, Vince Lee, is replying to a guy called Dave. He said, "I'm not a dreamer, and I know that we're a small club, but I want to enjoy watching Millwall. When was the last time you came out of a Millwall game buzzing about the performance? The games we've won this season have been a hard watch, even when scoring last-minute goals." And it's a really interesting point. I think I said something similar myself on previous shows, and it's a point that's repeated across the board, and I was interested to hear what you think, because it seems a long time, Matt, since I went to Millwall and came out of there psyched. You know, like we all know the situations, we all know the games. And that seems to have died a death. And I don't know that the players are believing in Gary Rowett anymore, because there doesn't seem to be any drive, there doesn't seem to be any buzz or electricity about the place.
It's just a struggle, isn't it, now, going to games. I can't really put my finger on it, because, you know, we've got the players there, but it comes down to, for me, it comes down to the centre of midfield anyway. I think if you're playing George Evans, don't get me wrong, he's not an awful player by any stretch, but he's just, what does he do? He's just like a mannequin that, you know, you might throw a ball 20 yards every now and again, but he doesn't offer that much, does he?
He's no Timmy Cahill. That's much. I mean, I don't want to. I mean, you're right. I mean, I've said similar things speaking to the chaps earlier on in the show. Because George Evans, in a way, and I don't mean to pick on him particularly, because I don't dislike him. I think he's probably a nice guy, and I'm sure as a squad member, as a bloke, as part of the group, he's probably spot on. I've no reason to think otherwise. Mm. But he's just a very, very average midfielder, and he doesn't let you down, but he don't inspire you much, Matt, does he? He doesn't turn it on. He's not a game changer.
No, well, this is the thing, and we've spent, what, $750,000 on him in January. We've spent sort of roughly that on Saville. And if you think you put that money together, because Saville's sort of flattered to deceive, hasn't he, really, since he's come back. I know it's still sort of early doors and he might have picked up a few knocks, but other than maybe the other day against Barnsley, I feel he's been pretty poor. But we desperately needed to address that creative option in midfield, and that is going to be Gary Rowett's Achilles heel, I believe. It's difficult, because, as I said, I feel like yesterday's performance, I don't think it came down to tactics necessarily. I mean, in the second half it did, but in terms of the first half, it's just stupid, silly errors. You can't blame the manager for a silly ricochet, but then in the second half, when you're looking at it and he's putting Ballard at right back.
That's Holloway's style panic, isn't it? That is worrying. I mean, the second half, the wheels came off. I mean, your first point is interesting, because at times in the first half yesterday, I felt that we were on the brink of playing quite well, but not quite. Not quite getting there. There was a move, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, so forgive me, listeners, but Shay Ojo came down the left in front of me where I sit, and beautiful run, beautiful cross into the box, but no Matt Smith to bang it home, because that's what was needed. There's Benik Afobe, who is not, is a good, I think he's a decent player. He's clearly very skillful. You watch his footwork, Matt. You know,
I think he's a very good player, Benik Afobe, but I watched particularly yesterday, and I saw it a bit against Bristol City as well the other week. He drops deep a lot to link the play.
Yeah. Is he not going searching for the ball that he's not getting? He's not getting the right ball. He's going searching for it.
We're lacking that focal point.
Yeah.
When Afobe plays, and I think you need to play him based on his work rate and his ability to finish. If you compare him to sort of a smaller centre forward like Bradshaw, for me, he's streets ahead of someone like that. But you need to play at least one of those, I think. If not, with a big target man, and when he's dropping deep, it's difficult, because you've got a winger in Jed who looks to instigate everything. And whilst I've been sort of impressed with Ojo, I thought yesterday, I think he lacked a bit of desire to beat his man. He's a lot of going backwards.
I wonder whether the team, I mean, both Ojo and Jed were popping up in unexpected places, which I imagine that's Gary Rowett has been apparently working on the attacking options for the side during the international break. And I'm not going to make any obvious jokes, because we were very poor going forwards yesterday. But I'm wondering whether Shay Ojo looks to me to be a really good but conventional winger, a left-sided winger, because I thought, you know, when he's kept in that role, he looks effective. But both he and both Jed are good players by Millwall standards, but they're not top-draw players. I mean, to give a player a free role is a big responsibility, and you're asking a lot out of championship level players. You know, maybe if we were Manchester City or now Newcastle, we can sign the very, very best, the very, very top table. You can give a player that free run. I mean, I felt that we lacked focus because players are playing out of being given a free run and they don't quite know what to do with that freedom.
I think you're spot on, to be honest. If you think about us as a team, I mean, you've been going to the Den a lot longer than I have, but
hundreds of years, mate. Hundreds of years.
God rest your soul.
If it was like.
I've been going since the I think my first game was under Dennis Wise.
Yeah.
So not long in comparison, but we've never had that prima donna. We've never had that main man, have we? It's always been every successful Millwall team I've seen have always collaboratively been excellent. We've never had one player that carries us through, and it's, you know, if that sort of model isn't broken, I wouldn't try and fix it. And yeah, as good as Jed can be on his day, he is a conventional winger. He beats his man. He links with a fullback. He's not a Jack Grealish, is he? He's not popping up all over the place.
He's not hundreds of millions of pounds of a talent. No, he's a good player. He's an excellent player for Millwall. But you know, he has his limits. And Shay Ojo, I think, is good. He's probably not brilliant. Obviously, he'd be at Liverpool, wouldn't he? He'd be starting in their first 11.
He's been around years as well.
Yeah, he's been on loan a lot, and there's clearly a reason why he's not. You know, the Premier League side, if you're not playing regularly, you're not at their level, and you probably find yourself at places like Cardiff and Millwall and wherever else he's been. I like him because he's very good by our standards. I like Bennick, but I think you've got to play the right kind of ball to him, because we're using Bennick, Matt, as if he's Matt Smith, a kind of a bludgeon, you know.
Yeah, when Smith came on yesterday, I did actually find it quite funny watching him sprint 10, 15 yards. He looks like a wearing old dog.
I sometimes think I could take him on in the sprint. Yeah. And that is saying something, believe me, with my dicky ticker, you know. The post-match comments, the pre-match comments from Jed Wallace, there was an article, I don't know if you saw it, but he was talking to London News Online and he was saying how much he admired Nathan Jones. I thought, well, that's weird, because that's not what you want. You know, it's kind of the squad breaking ranks a little bit. I know that in football, it's not the done thing to slag somebody off, so you're going to say nice things about them. But I thought that was kind of odd. And the post-match comments by Gary Rowett, I don't know if you saw it on the club site, but he was kind of questioning desire, which I think is the point that you've made at the start of our conversation, that lack of drive. And, you know, you mentioned Dennis Wise. There's a man never wanted for desire for anything, no matter what his level of play. He wanted it. And that's not visible in that team, is it?
Well, it, in relation to the your first point about the Nathan Jones comments, if I'm honest, I wouldn't read too much into that. From seeing Jed in the press, I've lost it. He just comes across as a very frank and honest man.
And
so you can't. I don't think he would be doing that to have a dig, especially at a manager that's got the best out of him. If you could be about as row it out as is humanly possible, but I don't think you can knock him for changing the formation to suit Jed, which has ultimately brought the best out of him.
Yeah,
I don't agree with it now, but that was something that had to change in terms of like the away form under Harris was fucking shocking, wasn't it? And he turned it around almost immediately.
Well, this is it. I mean, the football under Neil Harris reached the limit. And I think, you know, we have to be honest, because we were, under Neil Harris, we felt like a League One side that, you know, if it was a cup tie, then we were in with anyone. But it reaches its limits in league football, I think. And then Neil Harris reached that point. What was really interesting about the early stages of Gary Rowett, and I'm interested to know what you think, but the first incarnation of Gary Rowett pre-COVID, was quite an interesting manager. He took Neil's squad and he made one or two little moves and tweaks and whatever way you want to pull it, and produced a side that was actually, who knows where we would have finished but for COVID. But, you know, we were certainly brinks of top six.
I think we were pretty set then. I think I at that point after the Forest game, I felt it was ours really. That play.
I mean, nothing's come close to that since. No, there's been no COVID is COVID, and every club in the country, that you know, from the highest to the lowest, has had to deal with it. So I don't really think that can be an excuse. It certainly took away our main weapon, which is the force of the Den crowd. But the football that we're playing now is not going to bring in the crowd, Matt. It's going to, in fact, it's going to incite it, as we heard. You would have heard the same there yesterday. It's going to turn it into. It's a weapon for the opposition, not for the home side, and that's a problem.
Yeah, this is the thing, is that you mentioned how Rowett tweaked a few things when he first came in, and where's that sort of improvisation now? It's still the five at the back. It's, you know, as much as I quite enjoy Rowett's interviews generally, because I think, again, he's pretty honest and he doesn't.
Maybe we could stick him on Lions TV. Maybe get what's the club media channel? Stick him on there.
Yeah. that's true accountability.
He could do the post-match fan videos at the gates, you know.
Yes.
Oh dear. I mean, to get to the nub of it, Matt. I mean, the calls were quite audible yesterday. All sorts I was hearing. You probably heard it. Every listener that was there yesterday will have heard it. Are you a Rowett out man yet, or is it coming? Where are we for you at the moment?
I'm not Rowett out yet, but I can see why it's turning, it's credible. I feel like in COVID, I felt he got a really tough critique from the fans. I don't know if that's because people couldn't attend or they were scrutinising games because they were watching them online. Yeah. But I felt he got a rough ride. And when we started to get players back fit, we looked all right. But now I'm sort of getting to the point where if these sort of levels of performances don't pick up with, because again, when he first came in, I felt like we played. Don't get me wrong, we were defensive, but we countered really well. And when we did attack, we attacked with intent. And now it just seems to be the same front three attacking. Whereas
very predictable. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, do you remember when Cooper would just go on them like marauding runs, like 50 yards up the pitch? I remember he did it away at Derby a couple of years ago. Yeah.
And I think at Charlton he got forward as well, didn't he? Create a goal.
Well, it's probably for the fucking best he don't know, because he looks like looks like his legs are taped together, the way he plays. But
it's interesting. The loss of Jake Cooper is a big one, because he, you know, at one point he was being spoken of in the transfer terms in the millions of pounds. Who knows what value he might have attracted at his best? Some were saying 10 million. I don't know. You know, maybe not. Who knows? That is a shadow of that player. The reasons why, I don't know. His shoulder seems to be a thing for him. He doesn't look half the player that he once was. I think Ballard found yesterday a team that was prepared to mix it with him, and he didn't seem to like that side of it. I think he's a good defender, but maybe there's a limit on his development in that. If you can't go toe to toe with somebody, then maybe there's a problem there. And that leaves Sean Hutchinson looking a bit sad and lonely, like the little lamb in the field, you know. Certainly for the first goal
yesterday as well.
First goal was down to him, wasn't it? Errors.
Yeah, because defensively, it's sort of what we've always prided ourselves on under Harris and Rowett. But as you quite rightly said, Cooper's a shadow of the player he was. You can't knock his attitude really, because even when he dislocated his shoulder, he tried popping it back in, didn't he? Last season, he clearly wants to play every minute possible.
Oh, he's a brave, he's a brave boy. I don't think anyone should query his spirit in that sense. But
it doesn't make him immune from criticism when he needs it. And quite frankly, it's other than Sean Hutchinson's been immense, pretty much since he's been with the club, really. But in terms of yesterday, I thought he was a bit of a bomb scare. I don't think they could handle the fella Adebayo up top.
No.
From Walsall. I'd say at this point, I'd to be honest, I'd sort of be interested to see whether they'd consider a recall for Alex Mitchell in January, because I saw him play for Bromley at the back end of last season, just when fans were allowed to come back. I thought he's absolutely outstanding.
He's been getting rave reviews at Orient as well. I mean, you know, you read nothing. And the same with Isaac Alofe, who scored, I think, yesterday for Sutton. I know that's League Two, and, you know, I mm-hmm. know that don't translate. And the same you could say for Alex Mitchell. But they both seem to be players that want it and are hungry. And I think that's the bit that was missing yesterday, Matt. You know, I didn't see an awful lot of hunger on that pitch yesterday.
Just a bit of drive, wasn't it? Drive was missing. And what you can't take away from Luton is that they had it in abundance. They look like an old Millwall side at home, full of character, willing to attack. On paper, it should have been a pretty even game, really.
It was far from even.
I would have said it would be two teams cancelling each other out, but it was poor. I have seen a few comments saying it's the worst performance they've ever seen at the Den and things like that. I don't agree with that.
No, that's overreaction for me too. I mean, it was a very poor performance. It may well be. I mean, I think the lack of desire and the desire in Luton and the lack of in the Millwall team at home at the Den is possibly the most damning thing that I can think of to say, because that's one thing we should never be short of. Skill and quality, Matt. Yes, you know, we are Millwall. We know we're not going to be fielding of the Galactico side, but you can't go short on desire, and that was not evident yesterday, mate. Big week ahead, away at Sheffield on Tuesday night, and then Stoke at home. These feel like big games suddenly, don't they? For Gary Rowett, I mean, you know.
They do, and I can't see us getting anything Tuesday, as much as I would like us to. Go and do the business.
You're killing my hope, Matt. I was hoping for a row defensive special and maybe a 0-0 up there or something like that, 1-1.
Well, but this is the thing. Even a 0-0 would be a good result away up there, but you still get millions of comments on Facebook or wherever saying about how he's played for a draw. It's boring football, but at the end of the day, you've got to know your place, haven't you?
But there's some games that suit it. I mean, and I would say Sheffield United, away on a Tuesday night. The proverbial difficult place to go. That suits Rowett football, because you do want a five-man defence. You do want your two midfielders to sit back and not give any chances and blah, blah, blah. You know, we've seen that style. I think it's at the Den that is the issue, because we don't seem to, or he doesn't, it strikes me, have a plan as to how you might take the game to a team like Luton, who we should be beating, in my opinion, with the first choice 11 that we had available yesterday. That should have been a game that we would look to win. And Gary Rowett's tactics don't seem to know how to take that Luton team apart, for example. That's just one example of it.
No, I agree. I think that comes down to energy in the team. I feel we've
Do the players not believe in him? I wonder, Matt. Are they lost faith in him?
Well, who knows? I guess that'll sort of become more clear in the future. But this, we were saying, or fans in particular were saying this time last year, when we went on that terrible run, didn't we, at Christmas time?
It was
like November-ish. and there was a lot of, he said this about the manager, etc. But we'll see. I mean, I certainly wouldn't enjoy playing in that team if I was a player, especially if I had any sort of ability, which most of our squad don't have. But I think he's got to prove a point. I think irrespective of the result Tuesday, whether it's a 3-0 win or 3-0 loss, I think you've just got to beat Stoke, which is no mean feat, because they're a decent side.
They're a difficult team. Yeah,
I was just gonna say, there's not many difficult there's not many easy games in this league, but I've just lost my train of thought there.
I thought Luton might be an easy one, but anyway, there we are. Huge thank you to Matt for joining me on a Sunday morning. Really appreciate it, Matt. Hope you enjoyed coming on the show. We'll probably put this out as an Achtung extra, so I might do it as a standalone 20-minute job. Yeah. So,
nice one.
Big thank you to Matt, and I hope to see you again in the future, mate. That was good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your weekend, Nick.
Cheers, mate.
Achtung, Mehlball.
So there we go. Big thank you to Matt for contacting us. As I've said a few times, yesterday felt like a bit of a tipping point. I don't know whether that's being overdramatic. One or two comments online have kind of pulled me up for being overdramatic. You know, been told I should know better. But I think it was a performance that, I don't know, it seems to have sent ripples around the fan base generally. Mediocre performances so far in general. The football's mediocre, the results have been mediocre. Saturday's ambience at the Den, atmosphere, whatever you want to call it, with a fairly decent looking sized crowd, developed into the toxic very quickly. You don't get to that kind of level of atmosphere without there being some build-up to generate it. As I repeat myself, we've all seen defeats in our time, and you have to get used to it if you're going to follow Millwall. But the levels of abuse, which you would have heard in that show that we put out yesterday, Sunday, I'm talking about, 415, that doesn't come for no reason. I think that Gary Rowett has been in charge now for a decent period of time, 100 games, slightly artificially longer perhaps because of the break in the season, near the COVID break. But he's been given plenty of opportunity and support from the Den crowd, in my humble opinion, because we've all seen the low masses, we've all seen the finish of Holloway and others. I mean, even Neil Harris, hero of the club, started taking abuse towards the end of his time. You don't get there without there being some good lead in. And we've got to remember the fundamental question. Why do you go and watch Millwall? Loyalty, because, you know, I speak personally. I can't think of what else I would do with myself on a Saturday afternoon. I probably wouldn't take much interest in football generally if I'm not going to watch Millwall. But secondly, because there is historically a sense that we are the underdog, overperforming at probably too high a level for the resources of the club, and that you give it a go. I think what he's trying to do, Gary Rowett, is to take us to a higher level, and he's doing that by surrendering some fairly basic reasons as to why we follow Millwall, and that's often for the buccaneering style. Now, whether he can marry a forward looking style at home, particularly with a desire for sound defence, which I don't knock him for. I don't knock if you don't concede a goal, you won't lose the match. But that has to be allied with more vim going forwards. Now, whether he can do that tactically, or crucially, can somebody else do it, is the $64,000 question. After Saturday, I'm not sure the players believe that he is capable of producing that kind of football. It certainly didn't look like it at the end of full-time on Saturday. So we have a big week in front of us. Crucial games at Sheffield United tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and then next Saturday at home to Stoke. Two wins might change it. It can be provide temporary relief. Two losses, and I don't know. I said in the Sunday show, the recording with the boys, that I didn't think he might last a week because of the toxicity of the atmosphere on Saturday and its potential if things go badly for us, which I don't want. You don't want it, listeners. I don't want it either. But I don't think we'll want to go for another afternoon next Saturday, the 23rd, as we did Saturday, the 16th, that's just gone. Big week ahead. Anyway, that's the end of this extra show. Thank you to Matt for coming on the show today. Incidentally, if you want to get in touch with me via Twitter, or if you've got my mobile, give us a shout, and you ever want to contribute, come on the show, send me a voicemail, whatever you want to do, really. You can always leave a message on the answer phone, 0208 144 0232. I don't answer that, it's just literally a voicemail. If you want to come on the show and talk, you'd be more than welcome. The only thing that we cut is when anyone libels somebody and exposes us to legal action, potentially. So if you do want to come on at any point, you'd be more than welcome, listeners. So just get in touch with us.
via Twitter, email, whatever you want, where you want to do it. It's not a problem. And you'd be more than welcome. So big thank you to Matt. Thank you to you too, dear listeners, for tuning into this extra show. And we'll see how the week goes that's ahead of us. Until then, until after the Sheffield United game, it's arrivederci Millwall from me. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?